all have in common. We all have needs, right? Now, the needs might be different depending on your life stage. If you're at school, your needs pretty much are to pass the exam and reach your goals and finish well. If you're at varsity, those needs are pretty similar, but we would agree it's at a completely different level. Varsity students, anybody out there? Only a few of you. You're going, yes, okay. But then you've been there, you've done that, you've now got a job and you're working. And you would agree that those needs also change, because now it's medical aid and life insurance and car insurance and petrol. Yeah, yeah. And then somewhere along the line, you might even find Mr. or Mrs. Right 40 years ago. Hey, awesome. But then you would agree that, you know, the needs change once again. And then, as I would know, children arrive and the needs change. You know, the budget changes very drastically and golly, you know, next year May, yeah. But then the children go to school, and I don't know what that's about yet, but all I know is I've got to save now, because the needs change. You know, the parents are like, yes, you've got to save. But those needs change, and then the children go to varsity, and then the needs change again. Or you just carry on with life, and the needs change. But something that we all have in common, regardless of the emotional, intellectual, relational needs, we all have spiritual needs. And I want us this morning to read through our main text with your greatest need in mind. Regardless of what that need might be, it might be physical, intellectual, but it might even be spiritual. So whatever your need is this morning, let's read our main text together. And if you want to page with me, let's go to Mark chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 12. Or you can grab your phone and open up that app and scan the code on our bulletin. It'll take you straight there. Or you can, yeah, just wait, and I'll read it. Okay. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." We thank God for his word this morning. Now, with your need in mind, let's relate a little to this paralyzed man. He was clearly in physical need. He was paralyzed. And just to give you a little context of what that meant 2,000 years ago, in that specific culture, a paralyzed man didn't get a government grant or any help at all. They couldn't work or support their family or go to school or varsity. Most paralyzed people had to revert to begging at the main gates of the city or at the gates of the temple in order to survive, as they relied on handouts from passers-by. But luckily for this paralyzed man, he had four friends who knew about his needs. And they heard about this amazing Jesus who did all these miracles all over the region and could possibly meet their paralyzed friend's needs. Now in Mark chapter 1, if you read it, It reads that the news of Jesus spread all over the region of Galilee after he drove out a demon, out of a demon-possessed man. And then the very next day, Jesus tries to isolate himself because the crowds were just storming towards him. He tries to just wake up early and isolate himself, yet the disciples find him and they say to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And then Jesus moved from there. He heals the leper and he even tells the leper, "Please don't tell anybody about this." What does the leper do? Tell his friends. He quickly tweets it and it goes viral. Yes, it went viral. Go read it. Like, it's right there. Like, yeah, come now. It went viral. But Jesus then tries to go offline. Okay, he really does. And okay, that's enough for the new jokes. Okay, he tries to go offline, but it just doesn't work. There's one more. All the tracking companies in the area work together, and they find Jesus. And everyone's just storming to him. To that extent that the news about Jesus spread 32 kilometers away. That's here to Kloof. There we go. From here to Kloof. Now, let's just imagine, like, we have a nice bonfire at church, and the news spreads from here to Kloof that church has bonfires during the service. That's what happened. Just like this, the news just spread from Nazareth in Galilee to Capernaum. And these friends, this paralyzed man's friends, are like, "Yo, we've got to hike 32 Ks with this dude." But you know what? They believed. They believed in this man named Jesus with such persistent faith that they pick him up and they walk with him, carry him all the way to where Jesus was. But as they were approaching, they were kind of coming down Beachway, you know, towards Macuritan Avenue. And they see hundreds, possibly even thousands of people gathering around the little house. Did they give up? No. They were like, "Okay, well, we've got to make a plan here." So they kind of walk around the house, and then they pick up this leper up to the roof. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you've ever carried somebody, an adult, full-grown adult, completely passed out, if you've ever carried him 32 kilometers and then up onto a roof. It is a seriously difficult thing to do. However, these guys believed in the Jesus from Mark chapter 1. The Jesus who heals many, even lepers. The Jesus who casts out demons and taught with authority like no other. They believed with such persistent faith that Jesus would meet their friends' physical needs, that they even dug a hole in the roof when they got there and realized, well, how on earth are we going to get him in? They dug a hole, and now they decide to lower him in right in front of Jesus. And the question we've got to ask ourselves today is, have I ever come to the Lord with such persistent faith in his ability to meet my needs that my friends and my family have carried me to church, not just church around the block, 32 kilometers away, to come and meet the Lord who was willing and able to meet my needs? Have we ever had such persistent faith that even when we reach these doors and there's no possible way in, we get up onto the roof, and now the insurance company might clap me, but they get up onto the roof and they dig a hole in this roof and they lower you down? Have we ever come to the Lord with such persistent faith to meet our needs? Now, this paralyzed man and his friends most certainly had that kind of persistent faith. When they faced the crowd, they walked around it. When they couldn't get to Jesus through the door, they climbed onto the roof. When they couldn't find a hole, they made one. And then, friends, Jesus notices that kind of persistent faith. And what was his response? Did he discard them and tell them, "Just hang in there, I just need to finish my sermon"? No, his response is, "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." Now, for a brief moment, imagine that you are indeed the paralyzed man. You've just done the craziest of things and you've allowed your friends to carry you 32 kilometers, pick you up onto a roof, and then lower you down into the house through a hole in the roof. Imagine you are that person being lowered down. You've done the craziest things in order to get to this Jesus who everyone is raving about. and now you're in front of Jesus with your physical need quite obvious. But Jesus addresses something else. He first addresses your spiritual need. Now, why on earth is that, you might ask? Well, in the culture of the day, when someone was paralyzed, either by birth or by accident or disease, it was seen as sin, or because of their sin that had happened. And I think that's why Jesus dealt with the spiritual matter first. Jesus wanted to reveal to this man that he does not have the power to heal him physically and meet those needs, but he has the power to meet his spiritual needs by declaring all his sins forgiven, washing all his shame away. And that in that very moment, Jesus declares that every person who comes to him in faith, persistent faith in action, like this paralyzed man, will come to the same realization that Jesus Christ is all we need. And we all need Jesus to save us spiritually first. We all need Jesus to declare, "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." Because Jesus knew then with the paralyzed man, and he knows now that it's of no eternal worth if you can walk. Jesus knows that no one can walk their way into heaven. No one could see, hear, or live their way into heaven. Jesus knows that only through the forgiveness of your sins can you get beyond your walk on earth. For Jesus, our eternal security is more important than our maternal ability. And so he first deals with this man's spiritual needs. And then he says to him, "Get up, take your mat and walk." This paralyzed man came to Jesus with a physical need, but he left there rejoicing because he got more than what he bargained for. Friends, just like this paralyzed man, we can sit here today knowing that Jesus rewards persistent faith in action, and that he will first ensure that your walk is eternally secure, and then will he meet all our other needs in his time. Sometimes it happens immediately, like with this paralyzed man. He tells him, "Get up and walk." And other times he tells you to spit in the ground, make some mud, and rub some mud on your face, and go and wash it off a couple of kilometers down the road. In other cases, he meets your need, but you never see the promised land. Today, you might be sitting here with an emotional, physical, intellectual, or relational need. Friends, just know this today, that Jesus knows those needs. He is fully aware of it. But will you allow him this morning to cater for more than just that? Will you allow him, just like with the paralyzed man, as you come with persistent faith and action, will you allow him to cater for your spiritual needs first? That even when you see crowds of troubles in front of you, even when you think there's no way in, will you this morning come to the Lord with the same amount of persistent faith like this guy and his friends, and dig a hole into the roof of your problem and come to Jesus and say, "Lord, you know my needs right now. Please, Lord, if you are willing, meet my needs." And may you today come and receive more than what you bargained for. Just like the paralyzed man, today first accept the forgiveness and healing that only Jesus can offer. The forgiveness of our sins is available to all of us right now. You have come with your needs. Allow Jesus right now to meet the most important need in your life, the need for eternal life. And all of the other needs will follow in his time. The other needs might happen right now. It might take a little more persistence, a little bit more digging. But this morning, your spiritual needs can and will be met by the Lord if you are willing to come to him. And that is our prayer and our hope for every person here this morning, that you will come to the same conclusion as all the other people in that room that day. And when you see God meet your spiritual needs and maybe even your physical needs, that you will come to the same conclusion. Everyone was amazed and they praised God, for they have never seen anything like this. Our prayer and hope is that you will come and have your spiritual needs catered for first. And may we all come to the same conclusion and praise the Lord for the amazing things that He will do in our lives. And so I'd like us to pray together at the end of the service. And while we're praying, I would like you to think of your deepest need again. And bring those needs to the Lord this morning. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you know all the needs in the room this morning. You know of the physical, emotional, relational needs. But we pray specifically this morning, Lord, that you would cater for our spiritual needs first. And maybe you're here for the first time this morning and you've heard about this amazing Jesus who does miracles and heals lepers and makes the lame walk. Maybe this is the first time you hear of His unconditional love for you. Could I encourage you to just raise your hand if you would like to meet the Lord that cares for your spiritual needs first? If you've never done this before, maybe just a gentle raise of your hand, like, yes, I would like to meet that Lord that you spoke about. The Lord that heals, the Lord that forgives. Lord, we thank you so much for the hands that have gone up. And we thank you for those who have also made that commitment in their hearts. And we just pray right now, Lord, that as they come to you, that you will whisper in those ears, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. And then help us, dear Lord, to rejoice. For you have met our eternal needs first. And then for some of us here, Lord, our eternal needs are indeed secure in your hands. But we have some earthly needs that we really just want to share with you right now. And I would like to encourage you to do that. Just to share those earthly needs with God right now. If it's trying to get through school or varsity or a really big project at work or relational need right now, just share those needs with Him. And allow the Lord this morning to come and meet those needs in His time. It might happen right now. It might happen today. It might require a bit more persistent faith and hard work. But allow the Lord to meet those needs. I'd like to encourage you.